Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Thank you, Jesus. Please stay standing, church. Bear with me, I'm just gonna prep myself. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, why don't we just close our eyes? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we just posture our hearts to receive from the Lord today? Thank you, Jesus. Start to just begin to just toil the soil of your heart to receive His word this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, so much, our God. Lord, we first off, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for the breath in our lungs, Lord God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the strength that you've given us to come here today in fellowship under your name, Jesus. Lord, we are so grateful for you. Lord, we are so blessed because of your love, oh God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your new morning mercy this morning, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that your grace is more than sufficient, oh God. We thank you, Father, for your everlasting love. Your unconditional love, your great love, our God. And so, Lord, we just give this day to you. Lord, we will rejoice in it, our God. For this is the day that you have made, our God. So we will be glad in our hearts and our soul, Lord God. And we will rejoice. And Lord, right now, today, in this place, our God, we just honor your presence. And Lord, we just give you all the glory, and all the honor, and all the praise and worship, and all the majesty, Father. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your anointing in this place. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody say, amen, amen, amen. Why don't we give God some praise? Come on. Thank you, Lord. Hold on, bear with me. I just got to fix this. This was doing my head in. See this? It's doing my head in. Fix that. Okay. All right. Praise God. All right. You may be seated. Thank you, church. All right. How are you guys this morning? Good? Anybody got some Good Friday deals from Black Friday? Anybody went shopping on Black Friday? Yes? Yep. Bit of retail therapy. Hey, how good is it being in the house of the Lord? Amen? Amen. I love you guys. I love the Westies. You know what we say here? Westies, besties. I love the presence of God in this place. Come on, everybody say amen to that. Amen. I just want to remind us in Psalm 122 says this, I was glad when they said to me, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. This morning, I was glad when my kids said to me, Dad, we're going to church. I was glad when my wife said to me, get ready, we're going to church. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And Pneuma Church, I just want to encourage us, hey, let us not neglect in meeting together. It's so important. It's biblical. Let us not neglect in encouraging one another. Let us not take for granted in meeting together. Is that okay? Yeah. Is that cool? Yeah. How many of us know, church, that we need each other? We need each other. We need one another. This faith walk that we're all doing, this faith journey that we're all on is not meant to be done in isolation, but it's meant to be done in community. And I just want to encourage us, hey, let's keep showing up. Let's continue being present. And let's continue to face towards the Lord. Is that cool? Awesome, awesome. Hey, can we just also thank the worship team as well? Thank you so much, Mia. Hey, it's always such an honor. It's always such an honor to share the word with you today. And over the course of this month, if you're new here with us, we've been doing a series on healing. Anybody's been blessed so far in this series on healing? And church, I want to share with you something this morning that has challenged me, something that has convicted me, something that's close to home, and also a word that has encouraged me and stirred my faith. And so we're going to open our Bibles. If you got your Bibles with you, turn with me to Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Matthew 8, verse 5. I'll be reading from the ESV version, and it's about the faith of the centurion, and should be able to see, there it is, the scripture right behind me. And before I read out the scripture, I just want to share us a bit of background on how we got here. You see, this text is straight after the Sermon on the Mount. And we see from Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 7, we see Jesus here preaching and teaching with authority. You know, he's preaching on the Beatitude. He's telling his followers and listeners and what it means to be salt and light of the earth. He's addressing anger. He talks about lust. He speaks about divorce and oaths. Then he commands his listeners to love your enemies. He then moves on to kingdom living. He goes and talks about giving to the needy and being generous. He then teaches his disciples how to pray. He talks about fasting. He teaches about fasting. And then he goes into a kingdom mindset. He then preaches about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he wraps it all up with a golden rule, telling us to enter by the narrow gate which leads to life, and to build our life on a rock by obeying the words and teaching taught by Jesus Christ. And after all this, Matthew highlights again that Jesus taught with authority. You see, church, Jesus wasn't just giving out ideas here. He was laying out principles of the kingdom. And in Matthew chapter 8, we see a shift in the book. Jesus went from preaching the principles of the kingdom to performing signs and wonders and demonstrating the power of the kingdom. And in verse 5, we see this amazing interaction between Jesus and the centurion. So that's what we're going to read from, verse 5. And it reads this. When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he marveled. Everybody say marveled. Marveled. And said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from the east and the west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness, and in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion he said, "Go, let it be done for you as you believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. Numa Church, I want to speak today from the title of A Faith That Marvels. A Faith That Marvels. And before we unpack the scripture together, I actually just want to take a moment right now. If we can just have every head bowed and every eyes closed in this place. Every head bowed and every eyes closed in this place. And I just want us to think of someone in our lives right now. Someone that may need a healing. Someone that may need a breakthrough. I also want you to think of someone, maybe it's the same person that needs salvation. So why don't we just take a moment. While keeping your head bowed down and eyes closed, once you've thought of that person in your heart, if you can just raise your hands once you've done that. It's most of us. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, you can put your hands down now. Thank you. You can open your eyes as well. Thank you so much. And as we unpack the scripture today, church, I just want you to keep that person in your heart. As we go through these passages together, I just want you to hold their name before the Lord as we journey through this passage. Is that okay?
Yeah.
In the end, I want to take a moment to actually pray for those people. If that's cool with you. But going back to the text, there's a couple of things that I want to share with you from the scripture. And I believe it's so important for us to grasp this. I believe it's so important for us to understand this when it comes to healing. And the first point I want to make, church, is that Jesus is a willing healer.
Yeah.
Jesus is a willing healer. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 7. When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." You see, Jesus' first response is willingness. Jesus didn't hesitate. He didn't delay. He didn't even question the worthiness of the servant. Why? Because healing is part of the gospel message. Study shows that in Matthew alone, that throughout the ministry of Jesus, get this, 33% was healing.
Wow.
33% was healing. This tells us that healing wasn't just a side activity, church. No, it was part of the main mission. Healing is part of who Jesus is. As a matter of fact, one of the names that describes God's nature and character is Jehovah Rapha. Which means the Lord who heals. The Lord who heals. You see, healing is part of God's nature and character. And throughout the ministry of Jesus, we see Jesus healing. Not as a bonus. Not as an upgrade. Not as a luxury upgrade. But as part of the gospel. Matthew chapter 9 verse 35 says this. Jesus traveled in all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogue and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. You see, Jesus not only taught, Jesus not only preached, but Jesus also healed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when Jesus heals, he does not heal reluctantly.
Yeah, come on.
Huh. Well, when Jesus heals, he doesn't heal sparingly. When Jesus heals, he doesn't heal hesitantly. No, when Jesus heals, he heals willingly.
Yes.
He heals willingly. You see, Jesus is such a willing healer that before meeting the centurion, he meets a leper just after the Sermon on the Mount. And the leper says to him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." You know what Jesus' response was? "I am willing. I am willing." Church, Jesus is a willing healer. And in this text, the interaction between Jesus and the centurion breaks every expectation. You see, this is not your usual interaction. Why? Because during that time, the Jews were not so fond of the Roman soldiers. And during that time, the Roman soldiers were not so fond of the Jews. Huh. You see, the Roman centurion was this commanding officer of about 80 to 100 soldiers. That was his role. But to the Jews, he was just a Gentile. To the Jews, he was unclean. To the Jews, he was unwelcome. To the Jews, he was a representative of the oppressive empire ruling over Israel. You see, at that time, you see, the centurion was not raised in a synagogue. The centurion doesn't know the Torah off by heart. This centurion does not follow the same customs. This centurion was not a disciple. He wasn't a religious leader or had some sort of special resume. No, he was a Roman soldier. He was an outsider. He was a man everyone expected Jesus to avoid, but Jesus doesn't. Why? Because Jesus was a willing healer. And a willing healer is not limited by a culture. A willing healer is not limited by background. Come on, somebody. A willing healer is not limited by ethnicity or by status. You see, everything about this interaction was socially unacceptable. Yet Jesus did it anyway. He crossed boundaries. Why? Because Jesus was a willing healer. And so if Pneuma Church, if Jesus is a willing healer, then our responsibility is to be a willing asker. He says the centurion didn't have a perfect background. The centurion did not have a clean record, but he was still willing to ask. And if Jesus is willing to heal the centurion's servant, he is willing for you. He's willing for me. You see, our miracle is not blocked by Jesus' willingness. No. But it's often blocked by our doubt and our hesitancy to bring it to him. Sometimes we doubt his willingness because of the mistakes we made in the past. Sometimes we doubt his willingness because of the prayers that didn't get answered yet. Sometimes we doubt his willingness because the battles that we're facing feels like we're losing. Sometimes we doubt his willingness because of the things that we don't think we deserve. But Pneuma Church, I want to encourage you, the gospel confronts all that. Yeah. It confronts all that. Yeah. You see, Jesus doesn't just heal because you deserve it. No, he heals because it's part of his nature. Yeah. He heals because it's part of his character. He does it because he is a willing healer. And so my charge to you, Pneuma Church, is if Jesus is willing to heal, are you willing to come?
Come on.
If Jesus is willing to heal, are you willing to ask? If Jesus is willing to heal, are you willing to believe again? I want to encourage us, don't walk out. Don't give up on what God has for you. Bring the sickness. Bring the sickness before the Lord. Bring the situation before God. Yeah. Bring the pain. Yeah. Bring the pain. Bring the situation. Jesus is a willing healer. Yeah. Is this helping anybody so far? Yeah. Not only that, but Jesus has the authority to heal. Verse 8. But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy for you to have come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And I say to one, come, and he comes. And when I say to another, do, and they do it." You see, as mentioned before, Matthew 8 marks this shift from Jesus preaching the principles of the kingdom to demonstrating the power of the kingdom. And if we open, if we read the theme of Matthew chapter 8 to Matthew chapter 9, we see that the healing of the centurion is the second miracle in a sequence that displays the authority of Jesus. That Jesus has authority over sin. Jesus has authority over demons. Jesus has authority over nature. And Jesus has authority over sickness and disease. You see, for the centurion, he understood authority because he too was a man of authority. See, when the centurion says go, they go. When he says come, they come. When he says do, they do. He knows how authority works. He understands that when a person of authority speaks, things happen. Things happen. And the centurion appealed to the authority of Jesus. The centurion goes, Lord, just say the word. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. Lord, just say the word. You see, the centurion understood that for there to be healing, only a command from the Lord was needed. Only a command from the Lord was needed. And Jesus did exactly that. You see, Jesus didn't have to be there physically. Jesus didn't need to touch the servant or lay hands on him. No, he healed the servant with a command. He healed the servant with a word. And church, how many of us know that when the Lord speaks, come on, when the Lord speaks, Isaiah 55 tells us that his words will not come back void. Isaiah 55 tells us that his words will not come empty, but it will accomplish its purpose. You see, there is power in the word of God. There is power in the word of God. And church, maybe for some of us, all we need is a word. All we need is a word. Because how many of us know one word from the Lord changes things? It changes perspective. A word from God shifts our atmosphere. We go from walking in darkness to walking in light. How many of us know that when we get a word from the Lord, it speaks life into our situation? It gives us hope in our circumstance. But church, it requires us to seek him. It requires us to seek him. You see, the centurion sought after the Lord. The Bible tells us that he came forward and appealed to him. Church, I want to ask you, will you come forward and appeal to Jesus today?
Come on.
Will you come forward and appeal to Jesus today? Will you posture your heart to seek him? Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Church, will you seek him wholeheartedly? Will you seek him in the scriptures and allow his word to speak? Will you seek him in prayer and allow the Lord to whisper to your spirit? Will you seek him in worship and allow his presence to draw near? Because the one we seek is the one who holds all authority. I want to remind us in Matthew 18, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You see, Jesus has all the authority. And I don't want to encourage us. If Jesus has all the authority, then the enemy has none.
Yeah, come on.
And I want us to have this hope. I want to remind us in this truth that no matter what we may be facing, whether it's yourself, whether it's your friends or family, whether this battle has been going on for 1 year or maybe even for one decade, that when we position ourselves under his authority, we can trust in him to act according to his perfect will.
Yeah, come on. Awesome.
And when we speak the name of Jesus, something shifts.
Yeah, come on.
Chains are broken when we speak in the name of Jesus. The strongholds are broken when we speak in the name of Jesus. Healing comes when we speak in the name of Jesus. Because his name carries all authority over enemies, over our situation, and over every sickness and disease. Now, church, don't hear me wrong in this. I'm not saying name it and claim it. Don't hear me wrong in that. I want to remind us that healing may not always look like what we expect as well. Okay, but it will always align with his love and purpose. But I do want to remind us in this and encourage us in this, that his authority is still real. His power is still present. Come on. There's still authority in the name of Jesus, and there's still power in his word. Is this helping you? What do we know so far? Number one, Jesus is a willing healer. Healing is part of the gospel story. Healing is part of the gospel message. When Jesus healed, it wasn't just a side quest, but it was part of the main mission. Jesus healing people wasn't just something Jesus did. It was part of who Jesus was. Healing is part of God's nature and character. And when Jesus healed the centurion servant, he broke all the social norms. Healing has no barriers. Jew or Gentile, healing is available. Number two, Jesus has the authority to heal. Jesus is not bound by distance or by time. Jesus can heal by a command. He only needs to speak, and his words carry authority. Church, I want to remind us again that there is power in the name of Jesus when we trust him and submit to his will. Understanding all this, the centurion humbled himself before the Lord. You see, the point three I want to make is that humility postures our heart to trust God for the miraculous. Verse 8 says this, but the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but only say the word. You see, the centurion was a man of authority. We know that. He was a man of rank. The centurion was a man of position. The centurion was a man of status. But before Jesus, he humbled himself. As much as he understood that he too was a man of authority, he also understood his position before Jesus. So much so that he addressed Jesus as Lord. You see, the centurion didn't demand. The centurion didn't try to manipulate. He didn't claim entitlement. No, he humbled himself before the Lord. And just as Jesus was on his way to meet the servant, the centurion goes, Lord, I am not worthy. You see, this is not insecurity. This is not false humility. He simply recognized who he is compared to Jesus. He recognized who Jesus is. You see, the centurion didn't imply his rank. He didn't imply his position. He didn't imply his status. He didn't expect some sort of special treatment from Jesus. He didn't boast about his role in society. He didn't rely in his influence. No, instead, he surrendered his title to acknowledge a greater authority. Yeah. You see, the centurion approached the situation with humility. Yeah. With humility. He needed help. He needed help. His servant was ill. And he knew that Jesus was a willing healer. He knew that Jesus had all the authority to heal. And so he humbled himself before the Lord and asked for help. He didn't rely on his own strength. He didn't rely on his status. But instead he relied on Jesus. You see, humility, church, is more than just an attitude. It's a positioning of the heart. Yeah. Hey, humility before the Lord is recognizing our dependence on him. It's saying, Lord, we are not controlled, but you are. You know, the Greek word for humility is tapenos. And it simply means to be lowly, to be dependent, to be brought low, to rely on God. And church, I want to encourage us that when you walk in humility, it brings forth a blessing. 1 Peter 5:6 tells us that God exalts the humble. James 4:6 tells us that humility attracts the grace of God. Proverbs 22:4 tells us that humility brings honor. And Isaiah 62:2 tells us that humility receives the attention of God. Church, maybe God is calling us to humble ourselves. Not just before him, but in our relationships. With our friends and family, within our workplace and our schools. And maybe for some of us, we just need to ask for help. Yeah. Don't do it alone. Humble yourself. Ask for help. And admit that we cannot do this by ourselves, but we need God to move into our situation. I want to ask us, New Church, are we willing to humble ourselves? Are we willing to put aside pride? Are we willing to put aside entitlement? Are we willing to put aside self-reliance? Are we willing to fully depend on Jesus for our situation? Not only the centurion approached the situation in humility, but he partnered in faith. Point number four, a faith that marvels. Verse 10 says this, when Jesus heard this, he marveled. Everybody say marveled. And he said to those who followed him, truly, I tell you, no one in Israel have I found such faith. Wow. So often we want God to marvel us, but not us marveling Jesus with our faith. Anyways, that's a side rant. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says this, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen." 2 Corinthians 5, 7 tells us this, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." I want to remind us, Pneuma Church, that as disciples, as sons and daughters of the Most High, that we are called to walk by faith. You see, faith is trusting in the Lord. Faith is trusting in God's character and power. Faith is trusting in God's word. And for the centurion, he moved in faith. He believed that if Jesus only said the word, his servant would be healed. He believed, he had faith that Jesus would heal. He had faith that healing was part of his nature. He had faith that Jesus had the authority to command a healing. So he acted on faith. He approached Jesus with humility, confidence, and trust. And this kind of faith marveled Jesus. You see, a faith that marvels is a faith that moves.
Yeah, come on.
A faith that marvels doesn't demand explanation on why things are not happening yet. It simply trusts the word of God.
Yeah, come on.
A faith that marvels is willing to believe God can do more than expected. And a faith that marvels points others to God, not on our own efforts. God is not impressed by our status. Hello. He's not. He's not impressed by your title. He's not impressed by your position. He's not impressed by how much you can bench press. He's not. Those things don't marvel God. But great faith does.
Yeah. Come on. Good.
Great faith does. If I can get the band to come up. You see, throughout the Gospels, Jesus never rebuked someone for having too much faith. He rebuked them for having too little. He never rebuked anyone for having too much faith. He rebuked them for having too little. Church, I want to ask us, will you have a faith that marvels Jesus? Will you have a faith that marvels God? Will you have a faith that can move mountains? You know, the Bible tells us all we need is just a faith the size of a mustard seed, and you can move mountains. I'll share with this testimony and I'll end it there. Is that cool? Everybody okay though? Okay, we're so quiet. We're so quiet. Come on. I'll share a testimony, but just asking for your patience, because this one is really close to home. The year was 2016. Noah had just been born. He was born in November, and you know, Noah's my firstborn son, our firstborn son. And when he was born, obviously, you know, as a parent, you're so happy, you know, the first time being parents, all that stuff. Little did we know what was going to come in front of us. We didn't know the season that we were going to face. Long story short, when Noah was 3 days old, he was admitted to Royal Children's Hospital. And in that same week, the doctor sat us down and told us that Matt's crying, I'm crying, we're all crying, all the boys are crying. The same week, the doctor sat us down and told us that Noah had a birth defect that was irreversible. Irreversible. And in that same week, Noah had to go under a major surgery. Now, obviously, it broke me and Vanya's heart, you know, seeing our little boy in the ICU with all the injections and all the plugs and all that stuff. And then roll over to 2017, it was probably one of the toughest years that we've ever faced in our lives. You see, Noah's first surgery caused a few complications. And as a result, Noah had to use a stoma bag for 2 years. You guys know what a stoma bag is? Yeah. And throughout 2017, Noah would be in and out of the hospital. He would have an episode after episode. We would be in the hospital for about 2 weeks, and then we get discharged, and then, you know, we think that everything's all good, and then after 2 weeks we go back to hospital again. And when we stay in the hospital, it's about 2 weeks. The longest we've been there was almost a month. And this went on. It was a cycle. 2 weeks in the hospital, 2 weeks out, 2 weeks in the hospital, 2 weeks out. This went on throughout the year 2017. And by the time Noah was 2 years old, he went under 4 major surgeries. And on and off in the hospital in 2017, we added it all up. It was about 10 months. We knew everyone in the ward. We knew the nurse manager, everyone. I knew where all the secret toilets were, you know. You know, that year was tough. That season was tough. But during that time, you know, me and Vanya still served the church. During that time, we received a word that Noah will be healed. During that time, we also had people who prayed with us and prayed for us. During that time, we had a church community, this one, that would support us. And although it was an uphill battle, me and Vanya never stopped believing. Yes, there were tears, plenty. But we still had joy. Yes, we were tired. We were tired physically. We were tired emotionally. We were tired mentally. But God gave us strength. We never lost faith. We kept believing for Noah's healing. We stood in the gap for him. Just as the centurion stood in the gap for his servant, me and Vanya and the rest of our church family stood in the gap for Noah. We prayed endlessly for him. I remember fasting for 21 days for him. I lost 5 kilos, but then I gained it back. But church, I want to tell you that, you know, me and Vanya can confidently say in front of you guys that Noah is now healed in the name of Jesus. Praise God. He's living life to the fullest. He's so loud, he does my head in. Just kidding. Thank you, Jesus. He's fully healed. We never stopped believing. We stood in the gap for him. And he's healed. When we bow our heads again and close our eyes. You know, for the centurion, he didn't come forward for himself. He came forward for his servant. He didn't ask for healing for himself. He asked healing for his servant. For the centurion, he came forward and approached Jesus on behalf of his servant. And again, this centurion was no disciple. This centurion was no Jew. This centurion had no spiritual background. But he came forward anyway. He humbled himself. He partnered in faith. And Jesus was marveled. And earlier in this message, we took a moment for us to think of someone in our lives who may need a healing. Someone who may need a breakthrough. Someone who may need a salvation. And I asked us, all of us, to hold their name before the Lord. And I just want to bring us back to that moment and ask us the question, church, will you stand in the gap for that person? Just how the centurion stood in the gap for his servant. Will you stand in the gap for their healing? Will you stand in the gap for their breakthrough? Will you stand in the gap for their salvation? Will we humble ourselves before the Lord and partner in faith? I don't want us to shy from this moment. I don't want us to shy from this opportunity. Most of us put our hands up. I know who you are. And so I'm just going to invite the prayer team to come forward. And we're going to intercede for those people who needs healing. We're going to intercede for those people who needs salvation, who needs Jesus. And so why don't we stand? And as the worship team leads us, church, I would love to pray with you. Church, would love to partner with you and stand in the gap. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.